Welcome to the New Zone with OFA Podcast, a daring exploration of the unfiltered truths and intimate conversations that lie beneath the surface. Join us as we peel back the layers, shedding societal norms and expectations to embrace vulnerability. Get ready for thought-provoking discussions, empowering stories, and a safe space where we celebrate the raw and real. It's time to step back into the new zone where we dare to bear our souls and discover the freedom in being unabashedly human. Allow me to introduce your host, OFA.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the New Zone podcast with me, OFA. Thank you so much for joining me once again in the zone, and you know, just thank you for the love. I appreciate the support. Bienvenue, Ekabo. Welcome, Ndewo. Bienvenido. And every other language that says welcome, or welcome in every other language. Guys, how have you been? How's your day going? What's up with you? I really, really, really trust God is taking good care of you. I trust that He's taking great care of you. So, yeah. If you are a first-time listener and this is your first time joining us in the zone, all those my wishy-wishy welcome was specifically for you. Welcome to the new zone. And if you are a regular, my customer, Dada, I am grateful for the gift of you. Thank you for always making it a point. Do I call this a point of duty now or a show of love? Thank you for always being there, listening, giving feedback, sharing, even coming on the show as guests. You, every single thing that you do, I see it, we see it, my team sees it, and we are grateful for you. OFA particularly is extremely grateful for you, you individually. And I do hope that if you are a first-time listener, you enjoy the zone so much that you become a regular listener and join my clique of the customer dadas. Guys, today it's a serious thing, no, because I'm aware that some people might say I'm overstepping. Well, like one song that I used to know very well, I really don't remember the lyrics as such anymore. I can't remember who sang it. It's a very old song. It goes, Ishe ori lori rom mi, Ishe ori ni o, Ishe ori ni, Ishe ori ni. Well, to translate that, the singer was simply saying, my purpose is to sing. That is my purpose. Well, in my own case, my purpose is to help you have the amazing relationship that you deserve. And it's not just helping you. You see, by virtue of the fact that I say these things, it gives me a sense of accountability myself. So I am forced to reevaluate. I am forced to learn. I am forced, and I'm using forced because you see, a lot of us, myself inclusive, we tend to mostly want to stay with what we already know. Because man, it's hard to change. So being where we are is much more comfortable. I mean, but then growth, change is the constant thing in life. So by virtue of the fact that I share these things with you, I also learn, unlearn, and relearn. Because I have quite a number of listeners that remind me of some of the things that I say on the podcast. And there are times when my husband has actually called my attention to, you said this on so-so-so episode, you know, like, you said it and you're not doing it, or you said it and you don't want to do it anymore. So I'm like, oh, okay. So in a sense, I am bound by the things that I, because of course, I believe them to be helpful. And in cases where I have learned differently, cases where I've had guests on the show, I have learned from them as well. I've dropped the things that I think were good and I've picked up better information. I hope you get my drift. I said all of that so that you will not think that I only just talk because I like to talk. Mbano. That's not what it is. Yes, I enjoy speaking with you. I enjoy feeling like I am of help to your relationship. And I know that I am because I've gotten feedback, you know, that testifies to such. So it's not just because I enjoy that. I know very well that, you see, the more amazing relationships we have in the society, the better our standard of living would be. Standard of living is not just monetary now. You know, the love connection and love, yes, not just romantic love, filial, agape, you know, all of the different faces of love or different expressions of love, it covers all. So please, I am not overstepping. Hence why I am going to be addressing the men today. I am not a man. I mean, evidently by my voice, you can tell. Those of you that know me personally know that OFA is a very beautiful, well-endowed female, right? So I'm not a man, right? And I don't identify as one. I am fully formed, heavenly designed, unabashedly, unashamed female. I said what I said just now to let you know that in the case where I might, you know, say some things that can be termed, she doesn't know what she's talking about, she's not a guy, how would she know? That might be true. It is true that I am not a man, right? But thank God that I'm married to one. I have at least two male mentors that I follow really closely. One that I lived with for the most part of my life, you know. And so on today's topic, dear Adam, to a very reasonable extent, I know what I am talking about. This episode is not to bash you. This episode is not to undermine you. This episode is not to undervalue you. No. This episode is not to even say you are not doing a good job. Far, very, very far from it. And this episode even is not to say that the wife, you know, has no responsibility. It is not to excuse the role of the wife. It is not to, let me stick with, it is not to excuse the role of the wife or the part that she plays. No. Capital N-O. But I'm focusing on you men. I'm focusing on you. And as I speak, I hope that you will see why it is that the focus should be on you. Let's cast our mind back to the Garden of Eden. God created Adam first, right? He put him in the garden and then he put him in charge of everything that was on earth. It was after all of this that he created Eve from Adam's rib. I mean, we're very familiar with the story. I'm sure even those that are not Christians know the story to an extent. So we can very well conclude that
As Adam rightly proclaimed, Eve, his wife, is the bone of his bone and the flesh of his flesh. She is an extract from him. So it's like when you have a loaf of bread and then you remove some part of the bread and put it aside, that part of the bread that is aside should taste the same as the loaf of bread you just detached it from. It should have a very good resemblance to it, because of course you might say depending on where you cut it from they will not look the same, be that as it may. It should have a very good resemblance with what you just took it out from. So your wife is a very good reflection of you. She is your mirror. You want to see how you are doing. You want to evaluate, you know, your office or your role or your... You want to evaluate yourself as a husband. Take a good look at your wife. Take a good look at your wife. And this is not to say that, like I said earlier, it is not to excuse the responsibility or the part or the role of the wife, because it very well takes two to tango. But dear Adam, the major part of the responsibility rests on your shoulders. You see that family that God has given you. And I hope that you know that when I say family, I mean you and your wife and the children that God has blessed or will bless you with. If you do not have children yet, you already have a family. You and your wife are a family as it is. That's a unit, right? So you see, you are in charge of that family. You are responsible for that family, for that home. The health of that family depends primarily on you. Your wife is only but a support. Of course, she's not to be trivialized. Of course, it's not as if she doesn't, you know, contribute in any way, so everything is on your shoulders. No, that is not what it is. Let's go back again to the Garden of Eden. The story of the fall of man. In your opinion, who would you say was responsible for the fall of man? I'm sure that if we are to say things as they are in today's world, we would blame Eve, because that she carry fruits go meet Adam, whether an apple, whether an pear, whatever our avocado, whatever it was, a fruit, she took it to Adam and said, my husband, my darling, eat this fruit, my dear husband, Olowo Rimi, eat this fruit. And Adam too, great grandfather Adam, he took the fruit and he ate it. Now the Bible did not expressly tell us whether he questioned it or whether it just went with the flow. I don't know, but the Bible recorded that he ate the fruit, and because of that things changed. Now let's first start from, if Eve alone had eaten that fruit and when she took it to Adam he rejected or he refused it, could things have been different? I'll leave you with that thought. Now here's where I'm going to exactly. When God came in the cool of the evening, like the Bible, you know, records it, to hang out with them. Yes, to fellowship with them, to hang out with them. When God came, who was it that he questioned, you know, having called them and said, oh, where are you guys and all of that? Who was it that he faced? Who was it that he directed his inquiries at? It was Adam. Why? Did God not know that it was Eve that took the fruit to Adam? Of course God knew. So why didn't God say, Eve, why did you give your husband that fruit to eat? You must be, why? Why did God not face Eve? Why did God not question Eve? As a matter of fact, I'm trying to remember very well here now. Did God even question Eve at all? Did he direct any of the questions to her? I think so. I think so. It's coming to mind now. Yes, I think later on he did. When he first asked the husband, when he asked Adam. And let me draw your attention to this again. Adam said, it was the woman that you gave me. Would things have been different if Adam did not shift blame or shift responsibility? If he had just said, Lord, I am sorry. If he had taken responsibility for that action. If he had simply asked for forgiveness, owned up to the mistake and said, God, I am sorry. Or God, we are sorry. Would things have been different? I'll leave you with that thought as well. So you see, as the husband, you might not agree with me, but 100% rests on your shoulders. It rests in your hands. A lot of us tend to shift blame. It's because my wife did not do this. My wife is not doing that. My woman does not know how to do this. My woman is, you know, it is because that is why I am. Dear Adam, this is not who you should be. Please let us learn, or please learn from this very common Bible story that I just shared with you. Like I said, I don't know if things would have been different if Adam did not join Eve to eat that fruit. If it was only Eve that ate it, maybe God would have punished her alone. Maybe God would not have even, you know, I don't know what could have happened. That's one. Two, when God asked, you know, let's even backtrack a bit. Some scholars have said that, some Bible scholars have said that it was because Adam was not where he was meant to be. That was why the enemy was able to infiltrate Eve's mind, you know, and convince her to eat the fruit. If he was manning his post like he ought to, if he was with Eve, he would have countered. Because of the truth, he was the one that God gave the instruction. Right? He was the one that God expressly told not to eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. So, I think it was more like he then told Eve that, okay, this is what God said. Okay. So, the enemy looked for the time when there was a weakness, when he was absent, when he was not there, when he took a break. He took a break. I don't know what it was that he went to do or where he was. I don't know how big the garden was, but he was not with Eve at the time when the enemy embodied their serpents and successfully deceived Eve. Can we also learn from that? If you leave your home defenseless, it is your responsibility, oh dear Adam. I know that you are only human.
I'm only human. Sometimes I make mistakes.
I think that's the Westlife song. I can hear some of you, you know, murmur that. And some of you might actually be saying, you don't know what you're talking about. You're being idealistic. Maybe so. But I strongly believe that this is the truth and that it would help you. It would help every man that decides to take this to heart and sit up and not make excuses for themselves anymore. Whatever you do is not dependent on who your wife is, or should not be dependent on who your wife is or what it is that she does. Let me also remind you that as the husband, you have been called to love your wife as Christ loves the church. You see, how does Christ love the church? The Bible says that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we did not deserve it, we had not even heard of him then. But he knew. He had chosen us. He had called us by name. And so he knew that this is mine. And not only did he die for us then, the Bible records that he's still seated at the right hand of the Father till date, interceding for us. He washed the church with his blood, constantly shaping her into what he wants her to be. Dear Adam, this is what you have been called to do. The office of a husband is not a small thing. This is something that, honestly, sometimes when I think about it, it gives me goosebumps. Like, what God has called husbands into is such a big deal. It is dying to your flesh. It is knowing that even the times when my wife is behaving cray cray, you know the word, when she's, I am still standing on the rampant. I am still the priest of this home. I am still the husband that God has called me to be. I know that it is not easy, not because I am a man, but because I am human as well. And I know that it is very hard and difficult to continue to love and, you know, be the one to constantly bear the responsibility of everything. Being a firstborn child growing up in a Yoruba family, I don't know if it cuts across every other culture, but I know that in the Yoruba home, the first child is held responsible for everything that your younger siblings do. Whatever that they do, it is you. They will say, did you not see? Did you not know? Did you not? Like your omnipresent. But you see, it actually does help shape the mind of that child to be responsible for more than themselves. That's the office that God has called you to as the husband, dear Adam. Is it easy? I bet it's not. Because personally, there are times when I have done some things, or I am doing some things, and I see my husband's reaction to it. And honestly, I have called to order because I see that this cannot be easy on this man. I don't know how to say this in English, but I put myself in a shoe that if it were me, and me, I'm a feely person, I'm a filler. And I will not say this happens all the time, right? But God is your strength. I just really want you to come to that knowledge. Come to the knowledge, embrace the knowledge, leave the knowledge, walk in it. You are responsible 100%. 100%. You are responsible for your home, for your family. You are the thermometer. You determine if your home is sweet or not. I know that culturally, it seems like a lot of, yes, look, there will be an episode dedicated to the women. And I know that in that one, because it is we, I know a lot of things that we do wrongly. But I just want to tell you, dear Ada, this is your office and you have the authority. But the sad truth is that a lot of men do not maximize their office you do not walk in the full potential of the authority that your office as the husband, as the priest of your home, gives you. You are, or rather your wife is a reflection of you. You lead her by your words, by your actions. You lead her by the things that you say and the things you don't say. You lead her, you lead them, your children inclusive. You lead them by the things you do and the things you don't do. You see, even your silence carries authority in your home. So don't you want to use that to the best advantage there is? God can help you. God wants to help you. And there are teachers, there are mentors, there are books, there are videos, there are messages, there are tapes that you can listen to, that you can read, that you can follow, that you can talk to, that can help you be the husband and the father and the man that God has called you to be. Please ask God for help. And know that you're loving your family, you're loving your wife, you're being the man that God has called you to be, the responsible, upright, steadfast, excellent man. It is not dependent on who or what your wife is. It is not dependent on who or what your children are. Rather, who your wife and your children are is dependent on who you are as a man. I leave you with these few words, maybe not so few words that I have shared. Please, I am open to your contributions. Whether you agree or not, I'd like to hear what you think. Let me quickly chip this in. I want to suggest that you regularly pray for your wife and children. It's just an exercise, maybe 7 days at a stretch. Pick one prayer point today, pray. Pick another tomorrow. I know that you pray for your wife, I know. And it's for those of you that do. Thank you. I just wanted to suggest that because it is something that I've done with a couple of other women praying for our husbands and our homes. Yeah. So I'm just suggesting it's something you can do as well. And of course, we pray for you because we know that you are the head. The oil runs from the head. Please pray for us as well. We have come to the end of today's episode, and I really hope that these words that I've shared be of immense help to you. It is my heartfelt prayer that you will not fail in the office that God has given unto you. It is my heartfelt prayer that you are upheld by God, that even in times of weakness, when you feel like, whoa, I can't be the husband right now. Even me, gone, I'm somebody's child. I just want to, you know, even me, let them come and beg me today. Let me be the one that they will come and beg you chocolate and sour today. Even in those times, I pray for strength for you. Your health. God bless you. Your office is not a small one. I see it and I applaud you for it. I pray for immense strength for you, because the office of a husband and that of a father, God has really called you to be like himself, whether as a husband or as a father. He has called you to be like himself. And when we look at who God is, all of us agree that a man was to be God. So for God to now call you to be like him, he has placed a huge responsibility on your shoulders, and I pray for grace for you. I know that God is willing to help you, so please ask him for help. Lean on him for help. Dear Adam, you will help. Until next time, when I come your way with another episode of the Nudism Podcast with OFA, I leave you in the hands of God, and remember that I do this because I love you. And I know, I believe that you deserve that amazing relationship. Bye, guys.
heard on this week's episode? Well, the answer is simple. It would mean the world to us if you could leave us a 5-star review and feedback. Spreading the word really is the best way to grow our podcast and achieve even greater things. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the New Zone with OFA Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the candidness and gained a fresh perspective. Until next time, stay genuine and don't forget to subscribe and share the podcast with others who might find it insightful. Got a question, contribution or request? Send us an email at newzonewithofa@gmail.com. Please follow New Zone with OFA social media accounts for exciting updates, engaging content, and a chance to stay connected with our community. Instagram, New Zone with OFA. Twitter, New Zone with OFA. YouTube, New Zone with OFA.